welcome to another episode of Trafford Talk. I'm Ollie, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host Marnie.
Hello.
United have just beat Chelsea 2-0 in the FA Cup. What a performance.
Yeah, I think I'd go as far as saying as that's our best performance we've had under Ollie.
Yeah, like, no, I'd agree completely.
Defending, attacking, everything was so good.
Yeah, it was an amazing performance. They couldn't handle it.
Yeah, it was such a complete performance. I mean, the pressing, the defending, like every man like was putting their bodies on the line. It was great.
That was quality. It's weird because I feel like whenever we come on here, we always do, you know, have a go at one or two players. But I feel like pretty much every player played well.
Yeah.
Lukaku didn't have the best game, but hey, we'll leave him alone.
Yeah. I mean, if I was to like single out a couple of players, it'd be Rashford, Pogba and Herrera. I thought they were absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I think obviously Pogba got a goal and assist. Like the ball for the first goal was unbelievable. Great team move as well. It wasn't just like a great cross out of nowhere. Fantastic ball. Herrera with a great finish. And also the second goal, which was, again, just a great ball from Rashford into Pogba. Another header, two headers. But, you know, that's what we needed to break the Stamford Bridge curse.
Yeah, I think Ander said after the game in the interview that they knew that was one of their weaknesses. Runs from deep into the box and runs from the right, like where Alonso wasn't able to defend. So I guess we just exploit weaknesses. And I think that's something that's becoming like a common pattern with Ole, where we're exploiting the opponent's weaknesses a lot more.
Yeah, I'd also like to give a special mention for Ander Herrera, because tonight, even though Pogba got man of the match, I thought he was definitely in contention for that. He was incredible today. He had most tackles, 6 tackles. He got most interceptions, 5 of those. Most clearances, joint, 1-3. 59 touches, and obviously he scored a goal. So his performance today was probably one of his best in the United shirt. I'd go so far as to say that he's probably one of the most underrated players in the Premier League by far.
Yeah, and I think the reason why we're saying that is because of how underutilized he was under Mourinho. And if we remember back to his like first couple of seasons with Van Gaal, he was one of our like most critical players. Like he needed to be on the pitch when we first got him. And ever since then, he's kind of been overshadowed by the other midfielders, and he hasn't really played. But now that he's getting, you know, consistent playing time, we're just seeing the best out of him.
Yeah, I know. Under Van Gaal, there was talks amongst United fans of Herrera being our next possible captain, because that's how crucial he was for us. But then obviously other managers took over and didn't really use him.
Yeah. I think one thing that I noticed in the game that was extremely evident was we just kept on pickpocketing Jorginho every time he had the ball.
Yeah.
And that was like one of our main outlets, like either Mata or Herrera would just pick the ball from Jorginho and we'd break immediately. And honestly, I'm not just having a dig at Lukaku for no reason, but if we had Martial or especially Lingard on the ball in transition there rather than Lukaku, I think we could have got one or two more goals.
Yeah, I was going to say we could have probably won 3 or 4-0 because Jorginho was a clear weakness, and obviously credit to Ollie for spotting that in Chelsea's previous games, that we could target Jorginho, because he just really, as you said, when he got put under pressure, he just really didn't seem to be able to cope. I don't know why Sarri insists on playing him DM over Kante, arguably the best defensive mid in the league and maybe the world.
So, yeah, it's strange.
It's weird.
It's like when you buy a player for 15 plus million, at least for the first season. I know it hasn't really happened with Fred, but...
Yeah, I was about to say, that was going to be the counter-argument for me.
Yeah, it's sort of undroppable. Like, you saw it with Lukaku under Mourinho. He'd have, like, 15 games in a row where he was piss poor, but he still played every single game. Yeah. And I think we're seeing the exact same thing with Jorginho. Like, he doesn't necessarily play well, but he's a Sarri signing. Like, he sought him out, so he has to play.
Speaking of Sarri, the Chelsea fans seem to definitely turn on him there. I know it's been happening for a couple of weeks now, but when Barkley came on to replace Kovacic, chance of you don't know what you're doing kind of emerged from the Chelsea supporters.
Yeah, I must say, Chelsea are a ruthless club, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone by tomorrow morning.
No, to be honest, it seems the fans completely turned, because I remember at one point, obviously, after we scored 2 and we were kind of like sitting comfortable, United fans were singing, "You're getting sacked in the morning," and then Chelsea fans started joining in, and it's like, what? You know, it's sad when your own fans are singing, "You're getting sacked."
Honestly, like, sorry, on the touchline, he just looked like a defeated man. I think he knows his time's up.
When chants of bring back Mourinho are echoing around the ground, it's sad for you. Yeah. It's time to go.
Honestly, who do they turn to? There's literally nobody else.
Well, the thing with Chelsea is they're quite literally running out of managers.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
they go through a lot of good managers, but who's left for them?
If I was them, I'd turn to Lamps.
Yeah, we'll see how he does at Derby first, but I think it's a bit early for that.
Yeah.
Because I think getting an unexperienced manager who's a big name at going to big clubs around the world, it's not really worked out for the likes of Gary Neville and Thierry Henry, has it?
Yeah, no, it hasn't.
So,
but I mean, there might be like the off chance that it does actually work, where, like, I mean, you can see with Zidane, when he took over Madrid, he had literally no experience other than the Real Madrid B team, and look what he done with them.
Yeah, that's true.
And Simeone as well. So, I mean, there's quite a few instances where, and Guardiola.
Oh yeah, Guardiola's a class of his own for those.
Like when it's right, it's great. Like, it works out perfectly. But when it's not, it just goes downhill very quickly.
Yeah, exactly. It can be rough. I mean, I think while we're on the subject of Chelsea, I really don't feel like they're a top class team anymore.
I totally agree with you.
Like, they got beat by Arsenal, they've got beat by Spurs, they got beat by City, and they got beat by United. And that's all within the last 6 or 7 games. They're kind of like on Arsenal's level now, I feel. They're not really like competing. They're just kind of, they're trying to get top four, but they probably won't.
Yeah. I like say, my comparison with Chelsea is that they're like a much less effective, more passive version of Guardiola's teams. Like, you can see what they're trying to do, but it just doesn't work because they're not intense enough. And I think they're just too nice and they lack the cutting edge. They're so easy to play against, honestly.
Yeah, I felt like watching that game, you could see the desire and like how United's players were working for the ball, chasing it down if they didn't have possession, especially in the first half. We were literally running at them. And with Jorginho, we kept running at him as well, which is obviously he was identified as a clear weakness. So,
yeah.
But there was just none of that. I've got to say, Hazard really tried. I feel like Hazard was kind of like the only player really trying to put a shift in. Like, he was chasing balls and stuff like that. But,
yeah,
I mean, he's obviously off in the summer to Madrid, probably. But apart from him, the majority of them, they just kind of seemed a bit lost.
Yeah. I mean, Hazard's done literally all he can at this point. Like, he should just leave.
No, but for sure. He deserves a move.
I mean, you can sort of see what they're trying to do. But honestly, they just don't have the players to do it. And I feel like at that point, I know Guardiola did in his first season, it didn't go great, but City were willing to stick with him. But with Chelsea, you can see what Sarri wants to do. They don't have the personnel to carry it out. So at that point, if I were him, I would just adapt my style a bit and go with a different style to win the games. Because you know at Chelsea, if it doesn't go well immediately, you're going to lose your job. So I think he has to be a bit smarter about how he's going about things.
Yeah, and I think with him and Pep, it's a bit, I feel like it's a bit of a different situation because Man City were really gunning for Pep, but they wanted him as like a future, maybe not a long-term future plan, but a near future plan anyway. Like, you know, when you're bringing in Pep, you're gonna back him and he's gonna build you a squad and he's gonna play passing football, a Barca style of play, basically, to, you know, borrow from Andy Tate. But you know he's gonna win you trophies and win the league, and you know what he's gonna bring. But with Sarri, yeah, he had a good season or two at Napoli, but realistically, he's not really like a born winner. He's not really won anything in his managerial career, like, of note. So I think Chelsea kind of took a gamble. They saw how Napoli were playing. They had an incredible run last year, but it's not really seemed to work out.
Yeah, I mean, if you see that Chelsea, they do this thing where they'll get a manager that plays progressive football. Like, they did it with Villas-Boas and Scolari, and now with Sarri. But as soon as it doesn't work out, they sack them and go with a manager that they know, like Mourinho or Gus Hiddink or someone like that they know will play like direct football, like straight to the point, over the top, long balls, like play to their strengths with the physicality that they have. But whenever they get a manager that plays progressively, they don't give them any time whatsoever to adopt their style, and they just sack them. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, arguably, you can see it has kind of worked in recent years, seeing as statistically, they are the most like successful English club within the last 5-10 years. But obviously, as we said, there's a lot of flaws with that. You know, they're running out of top-class managers to go through. And also, it seems like their teams, when you're going through that many managers, your team is not really one vision from one manager. It's just a lot of managers trying to keep up one team, if you know what I mean. So it's not really all falling into place for them. And with their top players leaving, like Courtois going to Real Madrid and Hazard looking to follow suit, it's not really going well for him, is it?
Yeah.
Let's get back to the game. I'd say it was interesting because when we think of United playing, we always think of the 4-3-3 that we've been playing for the majority of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's reign. But today we went with the little midfield diamond with Lukaku and Rashford up top. I think that worked really well because I think I said it last time on the podcast. Mata, he works best when he's playing behind the strikers centrally, not on the right wing where he's kind of wasted. And that's where he was today. And you saw for the first goal how he could track down Jorginho and exploit that weakness there by feeding the ball down the left side to create the first goal. So I felt you really saw how that benefited the team.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But I think I kind of knew that was going to happen because it's clear that Ollie doesn't fancy Sanchez like at the moment anyway. So I thought that it wouldn't make sense for us to go with a 4-3-3 because it's clear that Ollie also prefers Rashford as a striker. So I didn't think that we'd go 4-3-3 because it just didn't make any sense considering like the vibes we were sort of getting from Ollie after all the interviews he does. So I mean, I wasn't surprised. And I thought that it shows like another like side to Ollie where he can use a different style and it works. Like it was successful today as well. So I mean, yeah, it's just positive signs all around.
Yeah, I know. Pogba, again, another outstanding performance, man of the match. I mean, for this season, he's on double figures for goals and assists. So I think that's now 14 goals and 10 assists this season for him. And I feel like every week I'm reading out bloody new Pogba stats of how well he's doing. It's getting a bit ridiculous now. This guy is seeming to be on form, the best player in the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, when Pogba's like this, the guy is unstoppable, he's unplayable. I think right now, he is most definitely the best midfielder on the planet.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no one, honestly, even when he wasn't playing so well, I've always said that there's nobody that can do what he does. He has that athleticism, he has a technique, he can literally do anything. He can go box to box, he can play balls like 80 yards down the pitch, like with perfection. And I mean, the guy is unreal. Like, in 84th minute, everyone's so tired. He picks up the ball from our box and he's actually sprinting down the other side of the pitch and nobody can stop him. Like, his gas tank is insane as well.
Yeah, and it's not really just one time that happens. It feels like it's every game. We see that from every game. The late run, he's just fitter than everyone else and he just strides forward with the ball. It's great to see.
When he's in full stride, nobody can stop him.
No, I know. I mean, Kante is, as I said, arguably the best DM in the world, but I know he's playing out of position, but even he seemed to just breeze past him like it was nothing, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Rashford also today had a fantastic performance. Like, he was just so like aggressive when approaching Chelsea's box, like just making runs non-stop. Obviously he had a fantastic cross for Pogba's goal, and he seemed to be our outlet today for the counter-attack, because obviously Lukaku is not as fast as he used to be. Mata is not exactly the fastest guy in the world either. So he kind of seemed like our only option, but he made it work. He drifted from left to right, centrally. He kind of seemed to be wherever we needed him for the counter-attack to work today.
Yeah, exactly. And he was a constant threat and a constant nuisance to the back line of Chelsea. Whenever the ball was like in the air or coming across the field, it'd always be on Alonso or on David Luiz, like constantly making them a bit nervous. And whenever there was a 50-50, he'd always come away with the ball. And it was one instance that I want to talk about where the ball was like a 50-50 and he took it from Kante and he's surrounded by Kante, Zappa Costa at this point, and David Luiz. And he passed the ball around David Luiz and sprinted and tried to get it to Lukaku, but Lukaku stood there and the ball didn't get to him. But yeah, he was unreal today.
Oh yeah, no, I don't know exactly what you're talking about. When he sprinted and he beat like two or three. And yeah, it was unfortunate to him because I felt like if the ball, you know, I mean, it's easy saying, oh, if this and if that. But if that was centrally, I feel like he could have definitely gone and had a good shot at goal, maybe got a goal for himself today because he definitely deserved one. He was just relentless, like all game, non-stop running.
We should have scored then. If Lukaku went to the wards of the ball rather than waiting for it, he would have scored.
Yeah, I know. And I think like Rashford's relentless running all game, like Lukaku can take a thing or two from that, because as you said, that opportunity he didn't run into the box. And I think as a striker, sometimes you've got to take a gamble and go for those balls, because if you don't take a gamble, what we saw will happen, you know, the defender gets there first and you don't get anything. So I feel like Lukaku's arguably Chelsea's best defender tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to give a special mention to Alexis. I mean, I know we've kind of shit on him a few times in the last few weeks, but I know, like, it gets to the point where if you know things aren't going well with the ball, at least try and do something else. And today, Alexis, he worked his socks off. And I guess that's a testament to the kind of character that he is. I know he obviously understands that things aren't going that well, but, you know, he put in a shift today and I think he had a decent performance.
No, exactly. I feel like, you know, if we're going to berate a player and question a player's motivation or work ethic, I feel like when they do kind of prove to you that they're trying, and, you know, even though he didn't get a goal and assist or any goal contributions today, that he did really put a shift in and basically just, he tried his hardest, to be fair to him.
Yeah, exactly.
And I will say, even though, you know, joking about Kaku being Chelsea's best defender tonight, he did have a decent game today as well. I'd say better than what he has done in the past, like, especially when he was running down the left and pretty much right at the beginning of the game, he ran down the left wing, put a good ball in, and Rashford nearly got on the end of it. So, you know, he created a few chances as well today. So I think really the whole team played well.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know what? Funny enough, speaking of players that we normally shit talk, Smalling had quite a good game as well, along with Victor Lindelof. I mean, those two were solid today, apart from the questionable time where he just decided to fall over and Higuain went through a goal.
Yeah.
That was just a bit bizarre to watch. I was just like, what is going on here?
Yeah, I've always said that Smalling is a good defender, but with the ball at his feet, he just isn't that great. And that's always been my gripe with him. It's not that he's not a good defender. The guy is a good defender, but it's just when with the ball at his feet, he just isn't great at all.
No, I know. But on the other hand, you've got Victor Lindelof, who is really good with the ball at his feet. Today he was again outstanding. 85% pass accuracy, 35 touches, 3 clearances, 2 blocks, no fouls, and obviously a clean sheet. So again, he's really come into his own. And he was just fantastic again today.
Yeah, one thing I love about Lindelof is when he has his back towards the play and there's only the keeper behind him, he never ever passes to the keeper. Like, that's like his last option. He always has to pass forward, and that's one thing that I love about him.
No, I know. It's great to see. And as a fan, you want to see that. I'm sure as a manager, especially, Ollie would love to see that because, I mean, I remember the days of LVG and when Jones or Smalling, we'd have a corner, it would get passed out to the wing, it would get passed from to midfield, and then Phil Jones would turn around and pass it 50 yards back to De Gea and goal. And you'd just be like, what the hell are you doing? And there'd be audible grunts and moans from the fans. You could hear it at the ground. Even if you were watching on TV, you could hear all the fans go, oh, for God's sake. So it's just a great quality to have and really allows us to play offensive football.
Honestly, if we had another defender that could pass through the lines like Lindelof, we'd hurt teams a lot more because of how much quicker we'd be in transition.
Yeah, for sure. But that's something the team's working on, and hopefully the club's working on getting a new defender in summer. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of link to Koulibaly and stuff, but if you're talking about defenders who are good on the ball and can make cutting passes, Alderweireld is the one that pops into mind for me.
Yeah, Toby's really a no-brainer, so I wouldn't be surprised if we do go for him. £25 million, you can't really go wrong with that.
Yeah, let's hope. Right, let's move on to the quarterfinal draw of the FA Cup. Man United got Wolves away. Man City got Swansea away, which I wanted us to get Swansea at home because, one, I wanted to actually go to the game because I'm sick of all these bloody FA Cup away ties. And two, I felt like they were probably the easiest club in the competition now. I mean, Millwall got Brighton and Watford got Crystal Palace, but I feel those two, they don't really matter as much as the two Manchester clubs, obviously. But Wolves away, I think, is quite a tough draw. I mean, even though we've got Chelsea, Arsenal in the last couple of rounds, beaten both. But, you know, we've got to do it the hard way if we want to win this FA Cup.
Yeah, Wolves are an extremely hard team to beat. And I think that playing at Molineux, not a lot harder, but it's harder than playing at Emirates or at Stamford Bridge, I think.
The Wolves are completely the giant killers of this season. Yeah. And, I mean, I think it's funny that we're saying, you know, playing at Molineux is harder than playing at Stamford Bridge. Seems we haven't won there for 7 years, but we got a victory today, so it's all forgotten now. The curse is over.
Yeah. True.
No, but yeah, I think that's a really tough fixture. I think Wolves away is definitely the most definitely the toughest fixture outside of getting Man City.
Yeah, we have to do it twice as well because we still got them away in the league as well.
Yeah. What would you rather do? Would you rather win the next cup tie or win the game in the league?
Well, I think it depends on what's on the line. If we won the league game and it sort of guaranteed us top four, I'd rather win that.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't, I'd just. It's honestly hard to say.
Yeah, I know.
We can't drop points in the league, honestly. We can't afford to.
To be fair, though, I feel like at this point, I feel like top four is kind of ours.
I would say that too, but you never know. Especially if Chelsea sack Sarri. You know that instant burst you get when you get a new manager? Everyone wants to show how good they are. And
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Chelsea go on like a huge winning streak if they sack Sarri. So I can't count them out. I mean, I do think we'll finish above Arsenal regardless, but Chelsea, man, I can never count those guys out.
No, I feel like Chelsea are a bit deflated at the moment, so I feel like we'll probably get top four at this point. We might even catch Spurs, who knows? Maybe that's a bit optimistic there. But as far as FA Cup goes, it'd be great for Ollie to end the season with a trophy. I mean, regardless whether he stays or goes in summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he wins the FA Cup, he's 100% going to get the job. I think even regardless if we get top four or not. But Yeah, I think it'd be great for him to win the FA Cup. I mean, we didn't win anything last season. We won the League Cup the season before, and I think the FA Cup was way more
And the Europa League.
Yeah, and the Europa League, yeah. So I think it'd be great overall if we won the FA Cup. I do think that I'd honestly rather finish fourth or above than win the FA Cup this season.
No, 100%. I think the Champions League next season is 100% more valuable than an FA Cup. But that being said, you know, everyone loves a cup run, so that'd be good as well.
We might have to stop City from like winning a treble. Like, they're in the League Cup final. They'll probably get to the FA Cup final, and I think they'll win the league. So
yeah, but it's not the real treble, is it? Because it's not the Champions League.
No, it's like a bootleg treble.
Yeah, yeah. The BTEC treble, as we like to call it.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think if Ollie gets top four, which I think he will, and say if we beat Wolves in the quarters and we go on to meet City in either the semis or the finals and lose, I think Ollie will probably get the job anyway, regardless of the FA Cup.
Yeah. I mean, if we actually look at it properly, when he came, we were on 26 points. We were 11 points off fourth. I mean, the position we're in right now alone is, like, I think it warrants him getting the job anyways, because we've climbed three spots already. We're actually pretty close to third, all things considered. I mean, I think he's done an amazing job.
Nah, 100%. I think he's definitely got one hand on the job at the moment. Right, let's move on to the news now. Not really too much news floating about at the moment, apart from Martial and Lingard possibly being back for Liverpool. But first, let's touch on the supposed £34 million package for Pochettino, Marnie.
Yeah, well, I saw the other day that apparently we were readying a £34 million compensation package for Pochettino to give to Spurs. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's no way. I don't believe this, because I don't feel like there's any way that we would do it now. I think the club will probably wait to see what happens with Solskjaer and make a decision in the end. But honestly, the more and more I think about it, I do think Ollie will get the job permanently anyway, because it doesn't really make sense to chase a manager for the remainder of the season and then sign him up like a month into pre-season, and he won't be able to get his signings, and then nothing will really work out. We've seen it firsthand with Sarri, where he only managed to get Jorginho in the summer, and it worked out for the first couple months, but then after that it just went all downhill because he wasn't able to get the reinforcements that he wanted. And right now, I genuinely believe that they've consulted Ollie with who he wants in the summer already. So I think all of this is just a smokescreen, and I do think that Ollie will get the job permanently, regardless of what happens.
Yeah, you make a very good point, because, I mean, realistically, with how well Ollie's been doing at the moment, is Poch going to come in and improve on those results? I'm not sure if he does, to be honest with you. And Everything just does seem to be falling into place with Ollie. So I don't see why the club would then go on to just sign Pochettino and risk what we have now. When we had Mourinho, it made sense to go and get Pochettino because he's this young, progressive manager. All this, we'll play better football. But at the moment, can you honestly say that we'll play better football under Poch than we are doing now under Ollie?
It's honestly so hard to say, because I mean, under the current circumstances, I'd probably say no. But honestly, let's just say hypothetically, we give Ollie the job. I think it'll be extremely interesting to see how we play like a year under his image. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we're not even close to playing how he wants us to play yet. And I think it'll be extremely interesting when he gets to play as he wants and he fully gets his ideas across to the players. And honestly, I see us playing a lot better than we are now.
Yeah. But then again, like, after the PSG game, you do think that Pochettino's style of play might be more suited to those big European ties, but
yeah. But the thing with that is, I know we talked about that a lot after the game, but
yeah,
I do think that after the game, Ollie's reaction, he was extremely honest, and like, he isn't deluded about where his team is. You know what I mean? Like, he realizes that we're nowhere near them. So I think that's genuinely a good thing, because I know for a fact, had it been Mourinho and we lost that game, the excuses we would have heard would have been from the ref, from the weather conditions to, I don't know, to anything, like red cards that should have happened. Like, even though Kimpembe should have been sent off in that game, like, you didn't see Ollie make a big deal out of it. You know what I mean? So I think Ollie, he's extremely aware, and he knows exactly where his team is at. And I think that's only a positive.
Yeah, and also, as you said, Ollie does have that connection with the fans, and he always does seem to say the right thing, whether it's, you know, saying we actually do have a good squad after the negativity of Mourinho saying we need more, him saying, well, if you look at the players we've got, we've actually got a good, young, talented squad. And also, when he lost to PSG, we saw how he responded to that, just holding his hands up and saying, you know what, they were better than us on the day. Some things didn't go our way. We didn't get the rub of the green. But at the end of the day, they're a lot further on in their transfers, in how long the manager's had with the squad, and all these different sort of aspects. So he does seem to say the right thing, and he's doing a fantastic job so far.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Let's move on to Martial and Lingard potentially being back for the Liverpool game. We'll move on to the Liverpool game in a second. But at the moment, the club's not really announced anything. But those two players were driving into Carrington Wednesday morning. So I don't know whether that's for training or for medical checkups or what. But those two players were both coming in. So hopefully they'll be back for Liverpool. But there's not really been much else on it so far.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being totally honest, I expect Lingard to play, but not Martial. I think that'd be a step too far, because I feel like Martial's injury might be a reoccurring one, so I don't see us risking that. But Lingard is kind of like it might have just been an impact one. If both of them play, I'd be extremely surprised.
Yeah, I don't think both of them will start. I think maybe both of them will be in the squad, whether that's Lingard starting, Martial on the bench, or they're both starting on the bench. I don't know, but it's, you know what? Since they first came out saying, oh, they're probably out for 3 weeks, they're definitely going to miss the Liverpool game, all that. I think even if they both make the bench, I'll be a lot happier with that than, do you know what I mean, not getting anywhere in the squad at all. So it's yeah, only good news, really.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Right, let's move on to the Liverpool game now, because we play Liverpool on Sunday. A massive, massive game. We really don't want them to win the league, obviously. And also, we need to cement ourselves for the top four. So, literally, the biggest game of the season so far.
There's a lot riding on this game, honestly. I mean,
it's never
us winning this game could be the difference between Liverpool winning and losing the league. I mean, that's how important it is.
Yeah.
And the players understand that. So I'm expecting a lot of intensity from us in that game.
Yeah, I mean, here's hoping. That's exactly what we were saying, of hoping to get Lingard back, because then at least you've got three fast players up top. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we say what we did against Arsenal was going, you know, Lukaku, Rashford up top, and Lingard just behind them, at least you've got three fast, powerful guys going forward.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to harp on the injuries, but I did want to say that Ollie might even think he may as well risk Martial, even if he's not 100%. Because if we're being totally honest, the effectiveness of Martial compared to anybody else on the left is like, it's night and day, honestly. Like, I'd honestly rather play Martial at 60% than Sanchez at 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds quite sad, but I'd probably tend to agree with that, to be honest. Touching on injuries there as well. I can't tell you who is actually out for the game. So for Liverpool, they've got Joe Gomez and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain out. And Dejan Lovren has come out recently to be a doubt for the game.
Yeah.
So I see he's picked up a bit of a knock. For United, we've got Valencia, Darmian, Rojo out. And Lingard and Martial obviously are both doubtful. But we'll hope they can get back into the squad. So that's really the injuries. So realistically, I think the injuries we have definitely affect our starting 11 way more than Liverpool's.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That they basically have a full-strength team. Like, Joe Gomez probably wouldn't have played anyways, and neither would Oxlade.
Gomez might have started, you know. I think Gomez could have started. Because him and Van Dijk were partnering at the beginning of the season for a good while, and Joe Gomez got a good run on the team. He's looking good until he picks up a knock. So, I mean, I guess him, but it's really not as big a deal as Lingard and Martial for us, really.
Yeah, I think, like, even though they have Matip, who's fairly experienced, so it's not like us missing out on Martial or Lingard is much of a bigger blow than they're missing out on one centre back.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's going to be a very tough game, seeing as, you know, Liverpool are undefeated in 26 of the last 27 Premier League games. So I'm not gonna lie, if we had Rashford, Lingard, and Martial all like up for the game, all like in perfect health condition, I'd be quite confident, especially seeing as United have won 8 of our last 9 games between the two. So I think for this one, it's a huge game, and it's kind of a weird time to play because they're not in the best of form as well. I mean, they've not really lost in their last 6, but they've won 3, drawn 3, and out of their last 4 games, they've only won 1, drawing the other 3. So it seems like it's a good time for us to play them, but at the same time, you know, our unbeaten run came to an end, and also we've had a loss to PSG now, but we bounced back against Chelsea and looked very comfortable and confident during that game. So hopefully we can just keep that going now and beat Liverpool.
Yeah. Also, their last Champions League game against Bayern, it was an extremely intense game. I think that might have taken a lot out of them. So I think, like, on top of their recent results, I think you're right. This is a perfect time to play them. I honestly think they are an extremely similar team to where they were this time last year when we played them, and where Rashford scored a brace and he scored that amazing goal where he chopped inside and hit into the far right corner. I mean, if any, like, at home, I can never doubt us. I think it's either a draw or a win. I don't see us losing.
Last year we weren't anywhere near in the form that we are now. So I mean, on form we're looking good, but you know, they're fine for the title, so you can't really rule them out, can you? But on home soil at Old Trafford, hopefully we can get the job done.
Yeah. I mean, I expect us to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if we drew, but I don't expect us to lose. I mean, that's where we're at right now. I don't think Liverpool, like, if we're being honest, Liverpool are not as good as PSG are, like, in terms of how they play football. They're a lot like, I'm gonna make up a word here, but they're more Premier League-ish, you know what I mean?
They're like
a rival that we've seen over and over again. We know how they play. So I mean, and we stopped them last year, and we drew against them the season before. So I mean, honestly, like, the ball's in our court and we should really win.
If you were to give a score prediction, what would you say for the game coming up on Sunday?
Either we win 2-1 or we draw 1-1. But I'm leaning towards us winning 2-1.
The two ones looking good. I tend to agree with that, but I'm just going to mix it up a bit and I'm going to say probably 2-0. I think Pogba's probably going to get a goal and assist again. He literally can't get enough at the minute. So I think 2-0 for me.
Yeah, I think we should really watch out for, obviously, their main danger man, Mo Salah. I think the way that their front three plays is kind of how I want our front three to play. They don't have, like, definite positions. They can move around. Like, you'll catch one of them at striker and one on the right wing. Like, they constantly move around. And I think that's one thing that might be tricky for our centre-backs. And obviously, we all know our defence is a bit shaky. So, I mean, when you have a front three that's constantly rotating, it could be a bit tricky for our back line, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like we kind of do have that a little bit. Not to the same level that Mane, Firmino and Salah are doing it. But I think with Lingard, Rashford and Martial, we do kind of have that, you know, them two swapping wings, someone drifting central. But obviously, it's a lot newer and it's a lot less tried and tested, I guess. But also the defence, that's a good point, because, you know, Van Dijk's got Matip, a very experienced defender next to him. And yeah, Smalling Jones, experienced. But who really is going to be Lindelof? I mean, Lindelof's going to start 100%. He's been our best centre-back this season by a mile. So I think probably Smalling will start there, right?
It depends on how Ollie looks at it. I mean, he may look at it and say he needs the extra speed and go Baye, or he'll look at it and say Chris had a really good game the last outing. He might as well build in his confidence and play him again. Or he could just go left wing and just play Jones and just do something we don't expect. But I think it'll be one of Baye or Smalling. But, you know, yeah, honestly, I don't really mind either one, but I would prefer Baye.
No, I know what you mean. I think Baye would probably deal with the speed of Mane and Salah and Firmino. I guess he's a bit more physical. He could definitely bully him off the ball a lot easier. I mean, he's a good defender, but if he's getting pressed by one of those three, which he will be if he's playing, I don't feel he's as comfortable on the ball, which could be a bit of a disadvantage there.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the inevitable scenario that happens where Young gets caught out of position and then the right centre-back has to cover, and we need a fast centre-back there. And I think that's why I'll be Baye.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. All right, well, speaking of player positions and stuff, we're going to introduce a little new little game, and we're going to basically be predicting the starting 11, United's obviously. How it works is we'll get a point for each player we guess correctly, and I guess we'll see who has the most points at the end of the season, and we can win an arbitrary prize, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, so Marnie, I'll let you go first with your starting 11.
All right, I mean, the issue with this is the formation. Like, if you get the formation wrong, chances are you get half the team wrong. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's tough to say. It all depends on the injuries. Mm. All right, I'll say I think we'll play the diamond again.
Yeah.
Probably. I think, okay, I'll go with De Gea in goal.
Yeah.
Young right back. I'll go Lindelof and Baye. Shaw left back. I'll go, the midfield picks itself. Pogba, Herrera, Matic.
Yeah.
And the front three is the only tricky part.
It is.
I'll go Lingard in the hole and Rashford and Lukaku up top.
Okay. That is very possible, and I think it's very close to my starting 11. So in goal, I'm going to go for De Gea, of course. Left back, Luke Shaw. In centre back, I think it's going to be Lindelof and Smalling.
Okay.
Ashley Young, right back. The midfield, as you said, picks itself. Pogba, Matic, Herrera. And I think we're also going to play a diamond. So I think it's going to be Rashford and Lukaku up top. But then the man in the middle is hard because I think if Lingard is fit, then he's definitely starts. But then again, it could be Mata.
Yeah. Your choice.
I'm going to go for Mata because I think maybe he'll keep Lingard and Martial on the bench for maybe bring it off at half-time, 60th minute, see how they feel. Although I feel that will be forced to injury. I feel like if he could, he'd start Lingard 100%, he would. But I think Mata will start instead.
Yeah,
fairly similar, to be fair.
Watch how he goes 4-3-3 and Martial and Lingard both play.
Let's move on to the Crystal Palace game. United are obviously playing Palace away. And we are recording this before the Liverpool game because obviously we've got United playing every 3 or 4 days now. So it's a bit of a hectic schedule. So we've got to preview this to get in the podcast before the Liverpool game. So depending on the result of the Liverpool game, Marnie, this could be a complete must-win game for us.
Yeah. I mean, at this current moment, we were just discussing this off air where the table is extremely tight. I mean, there's 1 point separating us at fourth from Chelsea at sixth. So if we lose this game, we could go from fourth to sixth. And in reality, we honestly can't afford a slip up. So hypothetically, if we do lose against Liverpool, we can't afford to lose any more points. So the Palace game does actually become a must win.
Yeah, Crystal Palace in their last six games, they've won 3, drawn 2, and lost 1. And the one they lost was to Liverpool, 4-3. So it was, it was a decent performance. I mean, they've also beaten Tottenham in that time, and due to the likes of Southampton and West Ham. So they're actually in quite decent form this season. They're not really doing too bad. They're 13th in the league, but they are holding their own against some of the top boys.
Yeah, I mean, historically, they've been a tough team to play against away. So, I mean, I remember under Van Gaal, we had an extremely tough game against them. We won it in the last, 5 minutes of the game. And last season with Mourinho, I remember Zlatan scored last second goal in that game. I mean, it's always been a tough place to go. Like, it's one of those, I wouldn't say it's like a bogey team because we do usually win there, but it's usually an extremely tough game.
Yeah, it is normally quite a tough game. But I feel like they're Man City's bogey team sometimes, though, because I swear for the last couple of years, Crystal Palace always seems to get a result against them.
Yeah, Crystal Palace always get a result at Anfield as well.
Yeah, it's quality. Unfortunately, they didn't get one this season, but 4-3 was very close. You wouldn't expect them before that game to go there and score 3. So they are a threat. They've got the likes of, Wilfred Zaha, obviously an ex-United boy, but he's definitely come on leaps and bounds since he was at the club. Aaron Wan-Bissaka is also in the form of his life, saying that he's 12 years old. So
yeah, it's my choice for a right back if we were to replace our right back.
Yeah, he's really having a great season. He's just watching him, he just runs his heart out and he beats players and he's actually solid defensively as well. So depending who he's up against, maybe Rashford on the left, maybe Martial, who's fit by then, hopefully, but he could definitely prove a difficult opponent, especially seeing as we attack down the left hand side a hell of a lot.
Yeah. Or it could be the opposite where, we kind of see what he's made of and it could cement our interest in him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we've got Dalot obviously, but we're definitely gonna have to buy another right back soon with Youngie, getting on a bit. So yeah, that's definitely a possibility. With Crystal Palace, they average 1 goal a game, but they also average 13 shots a game. So it's kind of a weird one. They're not that clinical in front of goal because they've got the likes of Benteke, who is really a million miles away from the player he used to be.
Yeah.
Their danger man is obviously Wilfred Zaha.
Yeah. I think the reason why that stat isn't really a surprise to me is because of the nature of their style. They're an extremely direct team. So, I mean, as a consequence of that, they're always going to have a lot of chances in a game. But like you said, they're not that clinical. But giving away a lot of chances is something we can't afford to do because they will score a few of them.
Yeah, I'll give a special mention to Luka Milivojevic as well because, from centre mid, he is actually their top scorer this season with 7 goals in the Premier League. So yeah. That being said, he does take pens for him.
Yeah, exactly.
But still, he is a bit of a threat. So he's also in my dream team as well. So he's doing quite well for me, actually.
Yeah, he's good. He's a quite a tidy player. So yeah, I mean, we better not give away a penalty then, I guess.
Yeah, he does seem to tuck him away. Hopefully the boys keep it tight at the back. Yeah, hopefully we can get a result against Liverpool. But if not, to conclude, this is pretty much a must-win game. We're not really going to predict the starting lineup because obviously we're a game ahead. So someone could get injured in the Liverpool game. People could come back. Who knows? But yeah. We can do score predictions though. So Marnie, what do you think the score's going to be?
I'm going to go with 2-0.
I think it should really be an easy game. I think 3-0. I was thinking they might get one. They might nab one, so it could be 3-1. But I think I'll go with 3-0. I'm thinking that Martial will probably be back for this, or Lingard or someone. So we should definitely be able to run at them. And hopefully they shouldn't be too much of a threat.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Trafford Talk. Join us next week for our reaction to the Liverpool game, our thoughts on the Crystal Palace game, and our preview of Man United versus Southampton. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our Twitters will be in the description below. And if you're listening on iTunes, make sure to subscribe. Otherwise, you won't get the podcast as soon as it's available. Apple do, unfortunately, take a while to update the store for new podcast episodes. Also, please leave a review and rate the podcast. It really helps out. And we'll see you next week.
See you on the next one. Going on up to the spirit sky.